Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Thursday, August the 20th, 2020. Today's 8/20/2020. 17 minutes past the hour, and away we go with the morning program here on WWGH Radio. Now, we've got a great day of programming today following this. I'll be on through 10 a.m. this morning, and then we will have On the Air with Glenn Coble and Swap Shop from 12 to 1 today, where you can sell and trade and buy your gently used items with Glenn Coble, 12 to 1. So that's the big day of programming here on WWGH Radio. But we want to get right into our number one here because, as you know, the Democratic National Convention has been going on this week, one more night tonight. But a lot of stuff has happened in the last 3 days as we head into the big election, November 3rd. 2020. Nobody better to talk about that with than the 40th Treasurer of the United States, who has so graciously come in this morning, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. I'm here to talk about the convention.
The convention. Yeah. Before we get to the convention, one thing I want to talk about, and I was surprised there wasn't more press about this, but Tuesday, August the 18th, 2020 was the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote.
I know.
What when you think about that, because it's in some people's lifetime.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're over 100.
Yeah, if you're over 100. But does it shock you that it took so long for women to get the right to vote?
Well, you know, I just read this book that what they went through. It was such a struggle. My goodness, what they had to go through to get the vote. And that's the reason everybody should get out there and vote, because you shouldn't let that privilege go by the wayside.
When you think about what they went through, do you think people exercise their vote enough today?
No, I don't. Well, I think they're doing it more. It used to be, it was in the 30%, and I thought, that's terrible. That was back when I was, just getting started in politics. It was like 30-some percent voted. That's not enough. Yeah. And I don't know what the percentage was for the last presidential election. I don't know. Do you know that?
I think it popped up quite a bit. I don't know if it was 50% or not, but it was pretty close.
Yeah, well, that's getting better, but it should be over 50, for heaven's sakes.
What do you think is the deterrent? Because certainly people know when election day is, and certainly people know how to vote. Why don't people?
Well, I think they think their vote doesn't count, and I think they think, oh, it doesn't make any difference whether I vote or not. And, it really does, because in the last election here in Marion, we had somebody win by one vote that changed the structure of the council.
Absolutely.
So there you are.
When you look at people like Donald Trump, and in a way, President Obama, candidates that are unlike anybody else, do you think, aside from policy and aside from what they do in office, do you think those are good things because they inspire people to go out and vote?
Well, yes, because Obama was black, he would inspire the people to vote for him that maybe hadn't voted very much before. Maybe they had a rough time trying to vote, because that was always the problem.
I heard a lot of people last time during the Trump election in 2016 say that was the first time they had voted.
For the Trump election?
Yeah, for the Trump election.
Really?
Yeah, It might have been the divisiveness of it, because people certainly had sides in that election.
Yeah, I had a woman the other day say, where do I go to register? And I told her, and she said, I haven't voted since Ronald Reagan, but I'm going to vote this year. So, I think people are up in arms. I think the post office ought to get everybody up in arms.
what do you make of the whole post office situation?
Well, I think Trump is going to try to do something to change the election, and I think he thinks that's a good way to do it. And they're evidently doing a lot of things that we weren't aware that they were doing, but they're finding out.
Is there any way at this point to stop that from happening?
I think there is. I think they're working on it. Yeah.
What do you think the reasoning for things like that is? Is it just lack of government knowledge, thinking that nobody will ever know?
That's part of it. They think they will get away with it before everybody realizes what's happening. And this one governor, I forget which state it was, he said, you know, they're gathering up all these mailboxes and the sorting machines. And so, and then things started to move in the operation to try to prevent it.
When President Trump came into office, the president was a Republican, the Congress was Republican, and the Senate was Republican. The Congress mm-hmm. is back to Democrat now, mm-hmm. but the Senate and the president are still both Republican. Now, that could change after the election. But what happened that allowed this last four-year period to basically be Republican rule? What happened to the Democratic Party?
Well, it's normal for a party to change when a president has been one party and then, you know, he was in for 8 years. It's rather normal for the other party to win. That's rather normal. You don't usually see a president follow that's the same party after 8 years of one party.
Prior, though, I forget how long the Democrats controlled the Senate, but it was a long period back
yes.
in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But not anymore. The Senate and the Congress flip a lot.
Well, the South was Democratic. That made a big difference. Then they changed to Republican, and that's when everything changed.
Want to run down some of these speakers. First of all, overall, how have you thought the Democratic Convention has won?
I think it's been a great convention. I was thinking in the beginning, why are they doing this? But I think they've done a great job on it. It started with the Star Spangled Banner. I have never seen the Star Spangled Banner done any better than those kids did. You know, from every state, I don't know how they did it electronically, but I thought it was terrific.
The virtual nature of this, which has made for shorter speeches and no crowd, do you like that? Do you
yes.
think that's...
Yeah, I think it was much better. I said you used to watch people walking around on the floor of the convention, and it was very boring between the speeches. Now you have everything bing, 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 and it's much more organized.
Do you think these shorter speeches by the big-name people will have as much effect as the
yes.
speeches in front of the crowds did?
Yes. I think those short speeches are much better. When they speak too long, your attention goes somewhere else, and I think it's very important to keep the speeches short. I was fascinated with how much time each one was given.
It's interesting because even President Obama, former President Obama, who spoke last night, I don't think he had 10 minutes.
No, I don't think he did either, but he had a terrific speech, and he made everybody think about our democracy.
We'll come back to President Obama, but let's start with Monday. Now, Monday kicked off with our former governor, John
mm-hmm.
Kasich,
yeah,
who did
right.
a video at the end of Two Roads.
Mm-hmm. Yes, spike in the road, or what do you call it? A fork in the road. A fork in the road. I thought that was so clever.
It was interesting. And it was about 2.5 minutes long.
Yes.
But he talked about how he endorsed Joe Biden, the Democrat. What do you make of this man who was a very Republican governor here in Ohio? This is the man who tried to get rid of the teachers' unions.
Well, Governor Kasich was always very involved in trying to balance the budget. I remember he did during when he was with in Clinton's administration in Congress. He was helping to do that, and his parents were Democrats. You got to remember that too. That makes a difference. I think that makes people change sometimes in their thinking. I don't know what caused him to be a Republican, but the fact that he is so disturbed by what Trump is doing tells me that he really cares about our country.
Do you think this was more about his dislike for Trump or his like for Joe Biden?
I don't know which it was. I have no idea on that. If I were to guess, I would guess it was his dislike for Trump.
Well, it's interesting to me because I remember in 2016, he was one of the, what they called at that time, never Trumpers. He would not endorse President Trump, and said on his ballot, he wrote in John McCain. He just did a write-in vote. In 2016, he was not endorsing the Democrat. He was not going to the convention for sure, even though he did not attend the Republican convention, which was a big folderball.
Yeah. Well, they were upset about that.
Because it was in Ohio back in 2016.
Yeah.
What do you think happened in that four-year period that changed him?
I have no idea what changed him, but there were three women Republicans that were also on with him. Christine Todd Whitman, who I knew, she and I were both on the board for the women executives in state government, and she was the first woman governor of New Jersey. And I was excited to see her there because I had heard her before speak about how she was going to support Biden, or she was going to, she was very much against Trump. I did not know the other two women, but I was excited to see her.
It's interesting that there are Republicans who are supporting the Democrat, which that very rarely happens.
It does, and they're very rarely on the program at the Democratic Convention, which is a real surprise. And then Colin Powell being on, too. We knew that he had voted Democratic before, but, you know, being having been the general and everything in the Army, it's pretty impressive.
As you say, John Kasich worked with Bill Clinton, so he's worked with Democratic administrations before.
Yeah.
Do you think there might be the possibility of a job for him in this?
Well, I don't know if he's after that or not. I think he's got a pretty good job now, hasn't he?
I think he's with CNN right
now.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know what his plans are, but when you have strong feelings, you have to express them, I think. And I think that's what he's doing.
Why do you think our governor, who did not do as well as Rubio or Ted Cruz in the 2016 presidential election, has now become this national figure?
You know, I thought it was interesting that when they showed Kasich and then Kasich was finished with his speech, they popped up the picture of DeWine and said he supports Trump. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Yes, I thought, isn't that interesting that they did that?
I wonder what the thinking behind that was.
Well, it was trying to show that they were trying to support both sides, or trying to show both sides. But I just wondered how DeWine felt about that.
He's He's got a lot on his mind right now in the state.
Yeah.
That's for sure. The big speaker Monday that got most of the press, aside from Kasich, Kasich got a little bit of press on Tuesday morning, was Michelle Obama.
Oh, yes. You know, she can give a speech. I just thought she was wonderful. And to look back at her first speech she gave when she had just become the first lady was, nothing. It was just a speech that wasn't very good at all. And to look at her now on how she can give a speech, she was marvelous.
How do you compare this speech with the speech in 2016, which got so much attention about when they go low, we go high?
Well, I think that's a good statement. She brought it up again, and it is what it is another statement that
Were you surprised at that jab at the president?
No, I thought it was very good.
Did you expect that, though, from her?
Yeah, I did, because she's tough. She is a tough woman. Yeah.
It definitely didn't make President Trump happy the next day.
Oh, no. No, I know, but...
Yeah. Well, in her speech, why do you think, because people talk about it all the time, she's not going to run for public office, but people want her to, she's very popular. What has allowed her to be that?
Well, she's been herself. She wrote a book. Her book was excellent. And when you read about her and you understand what she's been through in her life, you really appreciate how she's developed as the first lady. And she was criticized so much, and of course most first ladies are, I guess it's typical, but she stood for the things that she was interested in, and I thought she was a good first lady, but she really improved in speaking. I thought her speech was excellent.
Was that the right group to have Monday night, Kasich and Michelle Obama?
I thought it was pretty good, yeah.
It was interesting because Tuesday, the topics in all the newspapers were, it opened up so well, can they follow Tuesday night?
Yes, right, yeah.
Yeah, so let's get to Tuesday night. Really, we had some people who had run for office, but the headliner Tuesday night was former President Bill Clinton. What did you make of President Clinton?
Well, I've heard him give better speeches. I don't know. He just wasn't at his best, I didn't think. You know, I was a little disappointed in his speech.
What do you think, listening to it, was the essence? What was he trying to convey?
Well, he didn't have the energy and the excitement that you need in a speech. It was not that was missing, and I don't know why.
Do you think, with particularly Bill Clinton, that it has anything to do with the emergence of the Me Too movement, the Hillary documentary that came out not too long ago, which pretty well detailed the Monica Lewinsky scandal again, and whether it's true or not, we'll find out one day, but all this Epstein rumor that's going around, do you think at this point he just feels like I should stay out of the way?
I don't know. I really wonder about that, because we've heard so many statements about him, and so... You know, that's something that I don't know.
The other big thing Tuesday night was former President Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter, who they didn't appear, but a video appeared with their voiceover. What'd you make of Jimmy and Rosalynn?
I thought it was really good that they included them, because they had been left out of so many conventions prior, and they shouldn't be, because they're a former president and first lady, and he was a good person, such a good person.
Do you think that Tuesday night, as people said Monday morning, do you think that Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton lived up to Monday night's Michelle Obama, John Kasich speeches?
No, I don't. No.
It was a little more subdued Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was. No, I didn't get as excited. I thought Michelle's speech was just off the wall, yeah.
When we come to somebody like Bill Clinton, who was so popular in the Democratic Party, and even popular when he left office, he was very popular, and that's after Monica Lewinsky. What, 20 years after he's left office now, where do you think his popularity and his place is?
Well, I think it's changed. The fact that they keep mentioning Monica Lewinsky, I mean, all of that situation is mentioned continuously. And that's what John Glenn said to me. He said, everybody's going to remember that. And he was a good president. He had the economy was excellent when he was in office. And all you're going to remember is that situation.
When the kids, because a lot of young people vote who now were not alive when Bill Clinton was president,
right,
when they hear or see Bill Clinton, what do you people who did not live in that time when he was president, what do you think their opinion is?
I don't know that they would have an opinion. They probably don't think about that.
Do you think he goes down in the upper tier of the top 20 or the bottom 20?
Oh, I think he's in the top 20. You know, I think he was an excellent president. He ran a good ship.
Wednesday night, last night, was a very big night. A lot of speakers last night, a lot of people who had a lot of pull in the Democratic Party. And let's start with President Obama, because he gave a speech from Philadelphia. It was a stirring speech. What did you make of President Obama last night?
Oh, I thought his speech was excellent, and I couldn't go to sleep after thinking about losing our democracy, which he looked so serious, and I have never seen him quite that serious before. But, yeah, I thought he gave a wonderful speech.
What do you think brought that on?
I think he's worried about our country, yeah. And I want to go back to the night before again in the delegate count. You know, I thought, why are we going through this? Because why didn't Bernie give his delegates to Biden? Did you think about that when that was going on?
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and then I was anxious to see who was going to say something from Ohio. And it was Tim Ryan, had some guy with the union out there in the middle of a field. And it brought back memories of all those times I was at the conventions. You know, I was at five conventions over 20 years, and I really wanted to announce Al Gore and the chairman of the Democratic Party's wife got to do that. And I wanted to do that so bad, but I didn't get to do it. But I thought, who are they going to have from Ohio? But it was good they had Tim Ryan.
We skipped over Bernie Sanders. What did you make of his speech Monday night?
I thought he gave a good speech. Yeah, he wants to have a voice in this, what happens in this administration. He's trying to show that he had power, and I think that's why he's never given up his delegates.
Yeah. He had a lot of criticism in 2016 for not fully supporting Hillary Clinton. Do you feel this time he did better, that he fully supports Biden?
Yeah, he did better this time. He was really pretty bad the last time, but he's a determined person. He's quite a study in what he does.
Do you think President Obama, I thought one of the interesting things in his speech last night was where he talked about most of your minds are already made up. When you have that thought, and maybe that is true, do you think most people's minds are already made up 80 days out?
I think a lot of them are. I don't know what percentage you would say. I don't know whether to believe the polls today or not, because they've been so miserable the last few times. But I think most of the people that I talk to, their minds made up.
When we go to a convention, at this point, Ben, it's not really to nominate the person. There's no brokered conventions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if people's mind by this point is made up, what do the conventions serve? What is their...
Well, it was to inspire the public. I mean, I said, why do we want to go through this before we had our convention? And after I've watched this, I said, well, it inspires everybody to work hard to try to win this election.
Do you think for the Democrats, this is not so much about changing minds, but it's about getting people to vote?
Yes, and getting them inspired.
Do you think that's going to be a task during the pandemic?
Yes, it's going to be so different. I think everybody's concerned about it. You know, the fact that, are we going to vote by mail? Are we going to go vote at the county building? What are we going to do? And I'm going to vote as soon as I can vote, so I make sure it gets there.
and you wonder, do you think there'll be some of that where the votes show up late or...
Well, I suppose it could happen. I don't know. I hope not, but I hope there isn't a bunch of turmoil trying to keep people from voting, because that is something our country should not be doing.
Last night, we also saw the acceptance of Senator Kamala Harris as vice president. What did you make of her acceptance speech?
I thought she gave a terrific speech. She can give a really good speech, and it's from the heart. I swear it is. Yeah.
What do you think her strengths are, being vice president to Joe Biden?
She's tough. She's a tough woman. She'll stand up for what she believes, and she'll fight for it.
Do you think she is... We talk about... Hillary Clinton talked about this in 2016, that there is the misogynism that goes on. Does that matter when you're the vice president? Will people look at Joe Biden and say, well, there's a woman on the ticket, we can't vote for him?
Well, I'm sure that will affect some people. Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Do you think there's any way ever to overcome that?
Well, I think this woman will overcome it. I really do. You know, we've had women in the past, and they haven't made it. And they have not had the strength, though, that this woman has. This woman has a lot of strength.
From here on out, what do you think will be her purpose in this campaign?
Well, her purpose is to probably keep working as hard as she can to influence people to vote for the Democratic Party. She's a fighter. You know, a prosecutor is a tough business. And she's shown that from the beginning here after she was elected to the Senate. I didn't know her before she was in the Senate, but she won over 30-some people to get the Senate position from when Barbara Boxer resigned. And just think about that, winning over 30 people to... 30-some, I don't know exactly what it was, but you know, I ran against 6 people and 7 people, and that was too much, almost.
Yeah. It's hard to overcome with those odds.
Yeah, right.
When you look back to the primaries, a lot of people have said this. Kamala Harris had this great rollout in the beginning.
Yeah.
She was well-liked by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
In the first primary debate, she was the one who went after Biden the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said that she continued to go after people very hard, but yet she was also the first one to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there was any deal there?
No, I don't. If there was, I had no idea, but I think things just weren't working the way she wanted them to work running for president. And she dropped out, and look where she is now, you know.
And why do you think ultimately she became the choice?
Because she was so strong. she had so many qualities that was what he needed, you know.
And then we come, and I saved this last for a lot of particular reasons. Hillary Clinton last night spoke, and what do you make of Hillary Clinton?
Well, Hillary looked different. We were talking about this earlier. I don't know. She had a different hairdo, and she looked different to me. And she gave a good speech. And I noticed in the write-up, it said she lived next... I didn't realize she lived next door to her daughter and her family. And I imagine she's enjoying that. But, you know, to think about how she lost that election, and we're finding out more and more about what happened with the Russians, I can't imagine how she feels. Yeah, because that is really terrible to have the country of Russia win an election in the United States.
It was different.
Yes.
Did you find it interesting? I thought she twisted the knife to Trump, needled him twice in that speech. First by talking about she knew what it was to win 3 million more votes,
yeah, right,
and still not win.
Yeah.
And then the other one, which she talked about her concession speech.
Yes.
She talked about how we needed to give him a chance, and we have, and it just
and it didn't work.
Didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
You think she's still angry?
She'd have to be, you know, especially with this last news coming out the way it did on the first day of the convention. I thought that was
not good timing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, do you think things like that are timed?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I think they are. I don't know if this was or not, but believe me, that was timing.
But what do you think goes on in that household up there in Chappaqua?
You know, I don't know. They, I think they really are so involved in politics and everything that the conversations would be totally in that area, I'm sure.
You know, that relationship has been interesting because obviously they're both big players on the national scene, and he did great in his political career as far as getting elected.
Yeah.
But when we've talked, he always seemed to not be good for her.
That's right. He would say things that got himself in trouble when she was running. He was not a good supporter. I don't understand that. I think his heart was in it. I think he tried to be, but he'd blow it every time.
Well, and it was, I mean, I go back to the last, the debates from 2016, you know, it was his mistresses that were brought there. I mean, it had nothing to do with her, but yet she had to deal with that.
Yeah.
And during this Me Too thing, she had to deal with it. They they always looked at her and say, well, how can she be for women's rights when she stayed with this guy who did all these things? It just seemed, do you think she would have had a better political career if she would have been married to somebody else?
I don't know.
Because clearly she had ambition going back to
Yes, yeah, she had a lot of ambition, and I know she really was not wanting to move to Arkansas that much. Arkansas was not, I don't think, where she wanted to be when she first got married. But she jumped right in, and she got very involved in the government when he became governor, and she was working right along beside him. I've heard women say they resented the fact that she went back with him. But you know what I think is so ironic? That Al Gore left his wife, and the Clintons are still together. And Al Gore was so mad at him with what happened, and it was such an interesting thing how all of this evolved, really.
You know, We see Hillary Clinton. We see Bill Clinton. We see Jimmy Carter. We see John Kerry.
Oh, he gave a good speech. Yeah. It was a short one, but it was really good.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
We see all these people. Where is Al Gore?
Oh, he's not there. Yeah.
Two-term vice president.
Right.
Ran for president, got more votes than George W. Bush.
Yeah, he and Hillary are in the same boat there.
But yet he's been forgotten.
Yeah, he's low-key, yeah.
Do you think that's his choice or their choice?
Oh, I think it's his choice. Absolutely, it's his choice, yeah.
Why do you think that he never ran again?
No, people expected him to. No, I don't think he wanted to, no.
Do you think it was that 2000 election?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it demoralized his feeling about government, I think, really.
No other station, I don't think, would be having this conversation this morning, but we'll have it here because it's just, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, you have to have this conversation on this particular station. And it was funny. And I know Charlie's family's out there listening this morning, and I know they thought the same thing. Now, Hillary comes up on the television last night. I'll just tell this story as it is. She comes up, and everybody saw the picture, and if you did, you've seen it today. And again, she's trying a new hairstyle. And all I could think about, for the first 3 minutes of her speech, I didn't even hear it because I kept thinking, oh, Charlie is somewhere right now thinking, what is wrong with her hair? And I got an email almost immediately when the speech was over from a listener saying, what do you think Charlie would think about her hair? Mary Ellen, what is with Hillary Clinton's hair?
Well, I tell you, Scott, I thought immediately about Charlie when I saw her hair.
Why does she do that when she's speaking in big venues?
I don't know whether somebody tells her she should try a new hairstyle or what comes over her, but she looked so good when she ran for president. Her hair was short and had some... It was really, I thought, handled well when she ran for president. And it was when she was in the Senate, her hair was not the way it should have been. That's, I think, what Charlie was talking about, was the hair during this, well, or Secretary of State, I guess. I would say that I always felt, well, I wonder if she has somebody travel with her or not to take care of her hair. You almost need that as a woman because you can't always control your hair yourself, you know.
You know, when Charlie first made that comment, which was 5 years ago now, I honestly didn't think much. I even said to him that day, I said, well, you would never say that about a man. But, you know, I'm starting to come around on her because I do not, you know, because there are other women. There's Kamala Harris and there's Nancy Pelosi and they don't do that. Why does Hillary Clinton keep slicking the hair different ways? She's got to know that people are going to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it makes me think about when I was in office, I would change my hairstyle after I had a picture taken that we would be using for, you know, years. And they'd say, well, you changed your hairstyle again, you know. I think you need to change your hairstyle once in a while just to give you a lift. But I don't know why Hillary had that hairstyle last night. I don't think it was that attractive, but who am I to say?
do you, that's one of the strange things about women in politics, and it's always talked about, how they dress, what their hair looks like.
Yeah.
It does matter more than the men, far more than the men.
Yeah, people, I would be standing at the podium and I'd see women, and like I'd notice them in the front row looking me up and down. I mean, they'd look down at my shoes and all the ways, make sure how everything went together.
For women who might be running for office on this 100-week celebration anniversary of women's women getting the right to vote, what's the rule? If you're running for office for a woman, how should you do it? How should you do the hair? How should you do the dress?
Well, try to look good. Try to look the best you can. I think you want to have clothes that don't wrinkle. You don't want to wear linen or anything like that. I tried to always look my best, and that's really important in politics. A woman has to do the best she can in what she does with her hair or what she does with her clothes. You travel all the time. You're in a car and you're getting out of a car and you don't want to be all wrinkly. And so you have to have the right clothing.
Tonight will be Joe Biden's speech, yep. Acceptance speech. What do you expect to hear tonight from him?
Well, I hope he gives a good speech. I heard him give a terrific speech in Syracuse, New York, when I was U.S. Treasurer at the time. Yeah. Well, he can give a really good speech, and I hope he does. You know, I went to see him. We had a situation in the state treasurer's organization. One of the state treasurers committed suicide on television, and I was very involved in the state treasurer's organization at the time. I went to see Joe Biden. He was head of the Judicial Committee, and I remember he said, you know, we can't do anything because of the laws in Pennsylvania, and he's been in so many important positions in government that he should be well qualified to run this country, because I've thought of all the different things that he was involved in government. I mean, he's got a knowledge there that's very important.
Did you find it interesting that this week his wife, Dr. Biden, had to defend his cognitive ability, that this apparently is going to be the thing against Joe Biden, that he just, tonight will be a shot for him to prove that he's all there and everything's fine. Why is that the thing with him?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is it age?
Well, I'm sure it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think he'll be able... It'll be live tonight, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think these have been taped.
No, I don't think so.
If he gets up tonight and makes a gaffe of any kind, because I assume his speech will be longer than everybody else's.
I don't think he'll make a gaffe. Where you have the possibility of making a gaffe is where you're being asked questions. That's where you can get yourself into trouble.
Do you think tonight will be, this is what I'm going to do, or what pretty much everybody else has done, Trump's a disaster?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, I don't know what direction he'll go, but I would think he'd want to, you know, talk about what he wants to do.
Is the independent group of voters still there? Are there people who, when this election started, really were undecided? Or is that gone now? You know where you're going to vote.
Well, I'm sure there's still people that are undecided. I wouldn't know why, but...
Well, I was watching a documentary, oddly enough, the other day on the 92 election with Clinton and H.W. Bush, because that was the last time a sitting president was defeated. And what was odd was they weren't concerned with the Republicans because Bush knew he had them, and Clinton wasn't concerned with the Democrats because he knew he had them. They were so concerned with the independents, and the independents were, they felt, the largest group in every state. 28 years later, is that still the case?
Well, there's a lot of independents. I always think of it as almost as I think it's more than a third is independent.
Have you been surprised? In 2016, we heard so much about the Green Party and about the Libertarian Party because they make the ballot in most states. I don't even know if anybody could name either one at this point.
I couldn't.
Why have they become... For a while, they were at least known. We knew who Gary Johnson was. We knew Jill Stein. Those were the names. I don't know the names this time.
Well, one was the governor of Massachusetts. He's a libertarian, I think, and or maybe an independent. He's one of them. You don't hear about them till you go to vote, and there's a whole list of people, and you think, "Wow, I didn't know everybody was running for president." You know,
there's always some parties that are always down there,
and you
wonder about it.
Well, yeah, parties you've never heard of.
Never heard of. Mary Ellen, it's so great when you come in, and I do want to let the audience know that Mary Ellen has graciously agreed to come back tomorrow morning from 10 to 11 because we want to talk about Joe Biden's speech tonight and the wrap-up of the Democratic Convention. So Mary Ellen will be back with us tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m., and we'll discuss Joe Biden's speech and anything else that happens between now and then, because I'm sure there will be a rebuttal from the president tonight, so we'll discuss that as well. I've got a whole nother hour coming up here this morning, but Mary Ellen, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott.
Be back in 10 minutes. Hall of Fame. We're going to take a little break, see if we can find somebody else. This is Scott Spears and Terry Tackett. We are live from the Cuban Progressive Field on what is a very, very cool night here.